Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. When you go to a healthy number of meetings, you start to figure out who's consistent in showing up and contributing, and who's focusing on creating opportunities for everyone, not just for themselves or their own narrow sector. Our guest today is one such person in the Newfoundland Labrador farming industry. He's very active with the Young Farmers Organization, with agriculture in the classroom, with policy development, and that's all on top of setting up his own farm. As the show today emphasizes, building a farm takes time. You need resources, some of which can come from other people, but you need to ask for help and be willing to give it. Sometimes we're better at the latter. I saw a sign the other day that a farmer was holding up. It read, "I'd be the first to offer help, but I can't ask for it myself."
I never turn off. That's one thing with farming. Yeah. It is 24/7. I'm always thinking of how we can improve. How can we engage the public more? How can we bring in more young farmers? How can we improve our business? If you're looking to start out, I think you should go out and find a farmer and talk to someone who's been through the process. The agriculture community in general is very welcoming.
Today, we head out to central Newfoundland. Once we've seen just about enough acres and acres of trees and wetlands, no matter which way you came from, you turn north, heading toward Botwood, whose claim to fame was that years ago, it was the home of transatlantic flights. Winston Churchill was there, the once. Not far from the TransCanada, we come upon a piece of high ground with a view of the ocean in the far distance. There's a new barn, outbuildings, infrastructure, and a shepherd's quarters. It's one of those crisp winter days that makes you forget the weeks of overcast skies and storms that you just passed through. We take a tour of the barn first, leaning on fences, talking about feed composition and lambing. That's the fun stuff. Then we head into the house and get down to work. Join us.
My name is Rodney Reed, and we are at Echoes Meadow Farms in central Newfoundland, just at Bishop's Falls, just outside, at a farm that we started just 3 years ago.
What was the course of events that brought you to starting a farm?
Basically, we were living in Prince Edward Island at the time, working at a dairy farm there, but we wanted to work for ourselves and have that entrepreneurship spirit, come from an entrepreneur family, and we wanted to get back to agriculture and to the land, and it was part of a lifestyle. And we seen Newfoundland as having the opportunity, and as an opportunity to come back home and support our local economy.
It's kind of like your poster folk for the whole process of trying to bring people back and onto the land.
Oh, I'd like to think that. I've been on a couple covers, I guess you could say. And also, this is probably my third career. So I'm an old young farmer at this point. But when you work for someone else and you kind of realize at some point that maybe you like to have control of your own destiny after a while. And this opportunity gives us that. Every day we decide how much we want to put into our lifestyle and what we contribute. So
the animals probably have a kind of a say in that as well.
So actually, they're the bosses. Yeah, so are we working for us or are we working for them?
Tell me about the mix of agriculture you've got here.
Okay, so right now our plan is to do a synergy of a few different things. So we have lamb as one of the primary plans here, of accelerated lambing 10 months of the year is our goal, getting up to approximately 400 ewes when we get there. Also, those pasture bases are for honeybee production, so a forage for also for the sheep is the same forage for the bees as well. So we have bees on site that we use for pollination services for the cranberry industry and the value-added products of honey and the wax and stuff that we can sell at our farm here.
Because you're in the middle of an area where there's a lot of cranberry growers who need pollination services, need bees.
Yes.
You rent them out for periods of time?
Yeah. So we rent them out. We try to stay as local as we can with those producers, so we're not traveling too far from our home base. Yeah. But our goal is to grow the farm enough that our land base can support the hives and support the sheep as well.
Traditionally, in Newfoundland, Labrador, there were lambs. People would have lambs at one time of the year, and they'd sell them at another time of the year. And fresh lamb wasn't available year-round. What is accelerated lambing 10 months of the year?
So traditionally, you had that freezer lamb, which was that fall lamb. So everyone would buy their lamb for the year and put it in their freezer. So with accelerated lambing, chosen a breed that really breeds out of season, so we can breed all year round. So that gives us the opportunity to lamb all year round. So people will have access to fresh product throughout the year.
So what breeds do you have?
So our maternal flock, which are the main ewes. Yeah. So all the females are Rideau Arcots. And then we have terminal sires. So the terminal sire basically is a paternal breed. So we keep them for what genetics they pass along to their offspring. So they're a Charolais and a Shropshire are terminal sires. And they're traditionally known for their meat, not for fiber or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Did you choose a lamb or sheep for any particular reason? Like instead of going to beef cattle or something like that? Handling ease?
The handling ease definitely helps. We did did like the size of it. We liked that we could actually grow the industry how we wanted to do it to a certain point. It wasn't as regulated as what supply managed is, for example. Mm-hmm. We can grow this as large as we want or as small as we want. Mm-hmm. We can bring in different breeds that we feel bring value to our business and what brings value to Newfoundland and the community here.
It has been said that Newfoundland Labrador is set up for sheep. There were a lot of sheep here back in the day. I'm finding that a lot of people have either never eaten lamb here or they don't eat it very much because it's a more robust taste. Have we been spoiled by years of chicken, like meat that has no flavor? I mean, what are you finding in terms of what consumers tell you about lamb?
I think we went through a period where a few generations got disconnected from egg culture in general. And this is why there was kind of decline of self-sufficiency and everything. Traditionally, Newfoundland, every fisherman, principal, teacher probably had 10 or 15 ewes. But then at that time, it was based on survival. And they probably ate the animals that weren't lambing out anymore. So mutton was the most common, not lamb. Yeah. But I think in the more recent years, a lot of new Canadians coming in, so that, and the younger generations that are back to want to know where their food comes from. Mm-hmm. And the focus that we have in the agriculture community, AITC, Agriculture in the Classroom, and getting people involved and knowing where their food comes from and educating people again. I think there's a bigger movement to try new things. There's better genetics in those animals now. And it does have a different flavor. It's a lot milder than what a mutton would be. And mm-hmm. the older generations remember very much mutton. And they'll say to me, oh, you're selling mutton. No, we're not. We have mutton available if you'd like it.
Right.
And a lot of people do like it. But some of the older generation haven't tasted good lamb. And we've had a lot of imported products that are also stronger flavors that local doesn't have. So that saltwater lamb of Newfoundland and improved Canadian genetics. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of work put into developing a better product.
You mentioned saltwater lamb. So what would characterize that?
Basically, we're surrounded by water. The natural environment that we have here, and because of the lack of industrialism that we've had, that offers a better, mm-hmm. cleaner product. We don't have a lot of the pests and diseases that warmer countries would have. So our treatment of all that is a lot less. So mm-hmm. we're not certified organic. But our principles are very organic in our property here and everything else. And we hope as we grow our business, and there's probably an opportunity to incorporate some more saltwater products into our lamb. Our lambs eat a mineral base right now, and we would really like to get into feeding something that's more seaweed-based that is actually from the ocean, another local business.
Yeah. So. Earlier when we were talking, you mentioned fiber as one of the products that you will sell here at the farm. Yeah, I'm assuming you're talking about wool.
Yes. Well, we have a couple options for fiber. So all of our sheep are a wool breed. We do have, like I mentioned before, we have a rare breed, the Shropshire, and we have a Hampshire. And we want to get that fiber utilized and hopefully support some fiber artists in the province to make some product that we could sell as a value added. We also have some Newfoundland alpacas as well.
The Newfoundland alpacas?
We do, yes. So we actually have the Newfoundland alpacas, which were from Port-au-Port, which are added into our business model. We'll be using them for fiber source as well. And we hope to be selling those products along with the sheep wool products and stuff mm-hmm. from our farm mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm.
That has been a bit of a struggle in the past, is finding a market for wool. Your sense is that that's increasing. We're finding artists who are wanting to use local wool.
Like I said, the whole self-sustainability, the homesteading part, mm-hmm. the people getting back to natural products, I think is really important. And there's a real need for that, and there's a want for it. Mm-hmm. So people want to know where it comes from, and they want to support local where they can. Mm-hmm. We do have an abundance of fiber available. It is trying to find those value-added niche markets that can utilize that product. And how to shear a proper fleece. It has to be done in a certain technique. Wool just doesn't come off naturally.
Unfortunately.
And for an animal welfare standpoint, we have to shear. So annually, as part of our code of practice, we have to shear our sheep. Mm-hmm. No different than grooming a dog or anything else.
Mm-hmm. When did you shear your first sheep?
That was just probably a year and a half ago, and it took us about 45 minutes and a few aches and pains, and I think we only did one that day and walked away from it. And
did you have second thoughts about becoming a sheep farmer?
We certainly did. It's something else that comes with it. We've learned to do it in smaller batches mm-hmm. now, so mm-hmm. we don't put so much effort to it in one day. We would love to have a professional shearer be able to come in, but that's another skill set that we would like to promote, and hopefully with more sheep being around, maybe there's another opportunity.
Do you have a piece of music that I could play?
We can go down the barn and listen to the sheep.
Yeah.
that's usually the noise that you hum
along with.
Yeah, I think that's nice.
I've got a smile on my face and I've got four walls around me. I've got the sun in the sky, all the water surround me. Oh, you know, yeah, I'll win now, sometimes I lose. I've been battered, but I never bruise. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. On the corner, what keeps her from dying? Let them say what they want, she won't stop trying. Oh, you know, she might stumble if they push her around. She might fall, but she'll never lie down. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's alright. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright.
That's none other than Great Big Sea with their song Ordinary Day. I start this section by asking Rodney about how he sells his lamb.
So as of now, we sell at agriculture shows, mm-hmm. on some farm markets, mm-hmm. and direct sales. So we do have a point of sale right now. So we actually sell local animal feeds. We actually bring in the spring, we have meat birds that come in. So people, mm-hmm. can buy, mm-hmm. the birds from us, mm-hmm. For layers, mm-hmm. and whatever, mm-hmm. they want for their back garden kind of thing. So we sell from there as well, along with our honey products. And our plan is to have a retail farm front retail space in the, mm-hmm. near future, hopefully, just to be more efficient and, mm-hmm. sell direct from farm, mm-hmm. so that people can actually come in and maybe, mm-hmm. meet an alpaca.
Boy, and, they'll be available again to,
yes,
the public.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have been very involved in the young farmers here and in the Federation of Agriculture and so on. What are the things that motivate you to spend a fair bit of your volunteer time working in organizations like that? What?
You are right, Ivan. I do spend a fair amount of time.
I'm not saying it's too much.
No,
don't get me wrong.
There's times I've thought it's been too much, but I really do see the value in agriculture, and I grew up in agriculture and got away from it and came back, mm-hmm. into it. I see a true need for educating the youth, and not that I wasn't shown about agriculture when I was growing up, but I was the generation when the microwave came out. So I think that's part of the reason why we've gotten away from it. Convenience was part of when I grew up, and right now trying to get that next generation and educate them, and it's part of my core values, and I'm passionate about the young farmer part of it. I also sit on the Canadian Young Farmers Board as well, representing Newfoundland and Nova Scotia. Also with the Beekeeping Association, I'm active in that as well, mm-hmm. and with the Federation of Agriculture. Yeah. So I am very passionate about all of it in general and all commodities, and I really see a potential for everybody to grow and everyone to come back and learn where food, mm-hmm. comes from and get passionate, mm-hmm. and support local economy.
Do you think we're on the road up?
I definitely think we are. Our farm, 3 years ago, the road went in, so we were a forest. A lot has changed in those 3 years, but our process actually started in 2012, so 7 years now. Yeah. So actually, the beginning applications to get land access, stuff like that. There was a lot of frustration at that time, but I think we've made major strides in the most positive direction to really encourage the, mm-hmm. agriculture sector in general, and I think it's going to continue.
You're well aware we're doubling food production. You've been at the meetings. Mm-hmm. If someone were to call you up and say, do you have one or two policies that you think would be really good, or programs or whatever it is, do you have something in mind that you're really sort of hoping moves forward?
We have come a long way, mm-hmm. in what those policies are, and there's still a major need. There's still, our work's not done yet. Well, it'll never be finished, but we can continue to work to improve it. What I would like to see happen is we need to get a little more work done on our legislative side, mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. We really need to focus on getting that updated. There's a lot of that policies that have been left behind. Mm-hmm. It has 20, 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And because of changeover of governments and things like that, we really need to focus on getting that done in a shorter period within a government lifespan, mm-hmm. of whoever mm-hmm. is in office, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. But currently we need to really update what an Act for Agriculture, the Lands Act, and Animal Health. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of regulations with importing bees and yes. stuff like that that really needs to come in. We're very fortunate to be relatively disease-free mm-hmm. in Newfoundland. Mm-hmm. From varroa mite, the pests mm-hmm. mainly. And we're a very niche market in that. And we need to protect what that is and our native pollinators. We're an island. We should be protecting and saving what we have here, yeah. not relying on bringing things in. And we should be protecting our borders a little more. So we really need to push the policy of what is actually statutes and yeah. and law. But we really need to push to have those people that are working for us behind yeah. the scenes yeah. to say that we need to pull these policies off the shelf. Yeah. Yeah. Let's dust them off yeah. Yeah. and let's put in some future policies that can really grow the economy of the island and support the people that are here now and mm-hmm. who want to come here.
Farming, agriculture is connected to local rural economies. Do you think people fully understand the importance of that relationship?
I truly believe that at some point we had all those systems in place, those value-added chains that contributed to all those rural communities. And then we got to a point of centralization, globalization, and a lot of those, that network faded out. And I truly think that that's actually where we need to get back to, is supporting mm-hmm. local regions and that regionalization, not basing on centralization, to support all the systems that support that area. Mm-hmm. If it's either related to food, if it's garbage collection, if it's mm-hmm. Healthcare, all those things mm-hmm. should be regional. And processing, secondary mm-hmm. processing of food yeah. should be regional. I try to support everything that's Canadian, but I mm-hmm. truly believe mm-hmm. in everything that comes from Newfoundland and Labrador yeah. as first. And that regionalization, I think, is key to supporting those rural economies.
Do you think there's a shift that's been taking place in what people want from their food? It's a broad desire to be more connected with food.
There's a lot of work there to be done. The yeah. public trust part of it. Many people are very busy as long as they think they can go to a grocery store and buy it. But I think that comes back to education as well. Programs like Little Green Thumbs through Agriculture mm-hmm. in the Classroom, mm-hmm. which we're a mentor for mm-hmm. our local school. We have two classrooms that have the opportunity to grow a garden. And I can go into that classroom and become Farmer Rodney. And I'm a superhero, which I never thought I'd ever be. Yeah, I have a farmer's cape that I can go in. And it's amazing how much inquiry comes from a simple garden and how much that goes out into the community of education. When we mentored for our first class, I didn't realize the full community impact that comes from that. When you go to pick up your mail and somebody says, "Oh, you're Farmer Rodney. My child or my grandchild is in your class," yeah. and they come home, they tell me about this, then tell me about that. And, we do some bee presentations and we talk about agriculture in general as well with the children. And we find that throughout the full community, we randomly run into people or those kids that had gone through the program years later. So I think education of where your food comes from and having those young, impressionable minds really is the key to changing where our dependencies are and how we do get fed. And I think it's going to get better.
If you met somebody today who was where you were in 2012, just starting out, do you have any particular advice you'd tell them about the 7 years ahead of them?
If you're looking to start out, I think you should go out and find a farmer and talk to. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who's been through the process. Mm-hmm. The agriculture community in general is very welcoming. And the community that I've, since I've moved back here, we started the process without actually truly knowing only very few farmers. But once we moved back here and got truly involved, that's kind of when I realized how much community there really is. So if you can connect yourself to that, there's a lot of probably, I should say heartache, but they can really help you through the processes mm-hmm. in a more mm-hmm. efficient manner, because it's not an easy process to start off from mm-hmm. scratch. Mm-hmm. Unless you're walking some of this turnkey, even then it's a learning curve, but they can truly put a lot of effort into saving a lot of time and energy.
Or even knowing that somebody else went through the same struggles to clear their land or whatever.
I hate to say it's a buzzword, but yesterday was Let's Talk, Bell's Talk Day. Mm-hmm. So mental health is a huge thing in ag culture. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. sometimes my volunteerism and going to meetings and truly being part of the process gives me the energy to come back to my farm when there's days I might not have left my farm for 4 or 5 days. So sometimes I don't have someone to talk to or bounce an idea off, or maybe it's a bad day when things are not going well, or maybe a lambing is not going well, and you beat yourself up a little bit because of it. And we spend a lot of time alone. I love the animals, but they don't get
sheep are good listeners, but they don't respond.
Bad direction. Yeah. They don't give much direction. So mental health is huge, and having those connections, that's where the volunteerism comes in. That's trying to get involved in your community and Facebook, social media part of it. I don't spend a whole lot of time on Facebook to talk about what I did that day, but I am part of many groups and Twitter and stuff like that that are like-minded people that I can really relate to, and they really help me get through my day sometimes.
There's always some sorrow, and it's a double-edged knife, but there's always tomorrow, you know. It's up to you now if you sink or swim. Just keep the faith that your ship will come in. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say, I say, wait, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say, it's alright. It's alright, it's alright, 'cause I've got a smile on my face, and I've got four walls around.
That's Ordinary Day by Great Big Sea, as requested by my guest, Rodney Reed, one of the owner-operators of Exploits Meadow Farm in central Newfoundland. In this last section of the interview, we chat about one of my beloved topics, favorite local food.
What's your favorite local food?
Honey, I would say.
Honey?
Yeah. Our bees give a it's a great product, and I eat honey every day. So and of course our lamb is fantastic too. And I was a lamb supporter before we had sheep. So if it's on a menu, I have lamb.
What are the plants that your bees are? Is there something that they're using for pollen that's especially good?
Our honey from our property since we've started in the last 3 years has actually been very consistent every year. Mm-hmm. So our nectar sources are primarily fireweed and white clover. And white clover is what's in our pastures for rotational pasturing for the sheep. We don't harvest those pastures, so there's a lot of nectar source left there. And there's goldenrod in the fall. There's a lot of different things throughout the season. So all those different nectar sources just, for us, has been a very consistent flavor, good flavor.
Do you put honey on your lamb in some way? Do you have a recipe that puts the two?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Honey goes on a lot of stuff in this house.
This is a Friday morning, late morning. What does a farmer like you have to do for the rest of, well, up until quitting time?
Many people ask us, actually, what we do after the snow comes and what do you do in the winter? And so we work 7 days a week. And what our plans are to do today, what we didn't get done yesterday.
Yes. I guess you were in meetings yesterday.
We were in meetings all for the last 4 days off farm, which is very challenging at times to be away for that long of a period. So right now we're focused on, we'll be doing some shearing actually today. Mm-hmm. Our first lambing group for 2019 starts in about 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we're just catching up on a few animal husbandry, things like that. Our traditional everyday stuff is feeding and graining and watering animals, but also we'll be going through some production records, preparing for the other lambing groups and some business stuff like that we do.
For those who haven't raised sheep, this is a particularly intense time of the year for you as lambing starts. You're present at every birth as much as possible. You're like a midwife.
We're a doula.
Lamb doula.
When lambing does happen, there's very little sleep for us.
Yes.
So me and my partner, Brad, he never grew up in agriculture, so his first lambing was just last year. For some, he birthed an animal, but we actually take shifts because sometimes we don't get to sleep for about 20 hours or we start 6 o'clock one morning and we don't stop. We're not off shift till the next night.
Right.
So every second night we take shifts.
Yeah.
And it's our responsibility to go to the barn and do 2 hour checks.
Yeah.
Just to make sure everyone's okay during that lambing period. So when the lambing period is over, we still don't get to catch up on sleep, but we can actually get to go to bed at night. So, We're still very busy, but...
You're sleep-deprived, but is it a particularly exciting time of the year, too?
It's very exciting. It's a rebirth of a new year.
Yeah.
The great thing about farming is you get a retry. If your crops or things didn't work out for you in your previous year, you get to do it all over again.
Yeah.
So you get to improve. And we get to learn from everything and reapply our knowledge to the next year, right?
Yeah. So. And your ewes have, on average, how many lambs?
Last year, our lambing rate was 2.8 lambs per ewe. So our ewes are very prolific. Last year, we only had one single. Mm-hmm. We always have twins and triplets and some quads.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have some sinks or a little more than that this
really?
Year. We shall see.
Really?
Hopefully, we don't. But I'm okay with triplets and quads is plenty. And more than that is... There's technology to help with that. So we have an automatic feeder now that the ewes only have two teats. So they do really well raising the two. So if a mom has three instead of triplets and there's one that's larger, one that's smaller, and we actually help them, but we put them on the nanny, so to speak.
Yeah.
That machine will actually help mix the milk at the right temperature and everything else for us. And
that's amazing.
We're not having to make milk to make sure that they get enough. So all the lambs stay with their mothers for the first 24 hours to get the colostrum they need, and we make sure that everybody gets their fair share and making sure they're feeding and health of the ewe and troubleshoot any issues that could be going on. And
we talked about fiber and we talked about the meat, but are you having any plans to melt the sheep?
The sheep that we have are their main genetic composite is dairy sheep. So when we do wean, there's another value-added product. We wean the lambs in about 45 to 60 days, traditionally, which is not very long. Most people think, like, why don't you leave the young, the lambs with the mothers? The lambs grow so quick, they're very hard on their mothers. For her health and safety, it's time to wean. It's because they would be very hard on her udders, and she's actually done with her maternal duties. So at that time, we're really hoping that we can milk out the ewes during that time. Ewes milk has a very high solid content. It's great for freezing properties, and it's a great cheese milk. Mm. So it's another niche market that we could add on to what we're currently doing.
Yeah. So. I would guess there are many people who still are not aware that sheep milk and sheep cheese is a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and sheep yogurt. There's many different products that come from sheep.
Well, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome very much.
And all the best, and the next time I come here, there might be a little storefront somewhere.
Oh, there might be, yes. And you have to come back for a feed of honey or lamb.
And pet the alpaca.
Yeah, and then the alpacas as well. So. Yeah.
My guest today was sheep farmer, apiarist, entrepreneur, and unflagging volunteer, Rodney Reed. On days when the world seems an unfriendly place, full of avarice and idiocy and ripe for crisis, Rodney is the kind of person you want to meet up with and have a chat. A person with vision and drive, quick to laugh, and who seems to be able to survive on a rather small amount of sleep.
Mental health is a huge thing in agriculture, and sometimes there's days I might not have left my farm for 4 or 5 days. So sometimes I don't have someone to talk to or bounce an idea off, or maybe it's a bad day when things are not going well, or maybe a lambing is not going well, and you beat yourself up a little bit because of it, and we spend a lot of time alone. I think we went through a period where a few generations got disconnected from egg culture in general, and this is why there was kind of decline of self-sufficiency and everything. With farming is you get a retry.
Yeah.
Things didn't work out for you in your previous year. You get to do it all over again, so you get to improve.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The song for today's show was Ordinary Day by that classic great big band called Great Big Sea. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was done this week by the group Hammer On. Their name is a reference to the hammer dulcimer that they play. Sorry, nothing to do with useful farm tools. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
So this is probably my third career. So I'm an old young farmer at this point.